Let's go to the middle of the battle.
I can't hear you sing.
Yeah, there was the king. And because the three little Hebrew children wouldn't bow to the image of gold, they were going to cast them in the burning fire furnace. Who was this king? Somebody said,
oh,
Nebuchadnezzar. One fellow started preaching and he couldn't pronounce the name right, and he called him Nebuchadnezzar. The king Nebuchadnezzar was mighty mad. He treated God's children so very bad. He said, Shadrach, I'm going to burn you three. Shadrach says, that's all right with me. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Right after we go on back.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go to the land where the
all right, there was a certain fellow who prayed three times a day, opened his window and prayed, looked toward Jerusalem. Who was he? And he was going to be thrown in a den of lions, and who was the king?
I think he got him.
What answers go to? Right. Amen. Somebody got it back. Hey, now the king told Daniel he could not pray, wanted to know what he had to say. Well, I'd rather sleep in the lion's den than to be partaker of thy sin. Let's go.
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 Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Kings, we're going to read some scripture, and I want you, if you will, to bring on the pot, will you? And let's have a cookout tonight, amen? Everybody likes to have a cookout, don't they? We're going to have one tonight, whether we want to or not. And, you know, I don't care how mad I make you tonight, because I'm going to leave, so you can't leave the church, then I ain't going back to here like anymore. I met him, well, I may get killed and we'll never be back, so I just wait and see how things turn out. And if you'll wait that long, you'll get over your mad spell anyhow, if you say. Amen? So I don't care how mad I get you. I want to get you good and mad. You need to be made good and mad. Somebody said, you sure walking on my toe. Get your big feet out of the way then. Amen? Get right with the Lord. Man, it'd be a poor preacher couldn't hit me when he preached. Amen? All right. Now you say, what you going to do? Go have a cookout. That's what I told you. Boys, I believe I'd rather have, if you don't mind. I want to set that table right up here, and I want that little buck table right up here. That's right. Now we're coming. Now don't put that pot over there. Bring that pot over here. Nothing on that table. Nothing on that table. Now I want that little pot up here. I mean, yeah, little pot and the table. Both. Yes, sir. We're getting ready. Y'all know how they got. This ain't a grill. This old-timey grill. Thank you. God bless you. We appreciate that. Set that right on there. Now we're going to have a meal here in just a little bit. We're going to cook a little bit. Yes, sirree. We're going to cook a little bit. And don't worry about it. You say, people think you crazy. People talk about you. They're already talking about me. You heard them talking about me 30 years ago around here. They just about it, didn't you? And I'll tell you right now, if you're stunned for something and stand against something and be something, somebody talk about you. I ain't worried about what people say. What I want is what the Lord's saying about me. Amen? All right. Now, if you have your Bible and you're ready to go, now I hope you'll bear with me. Now, see, if you was going to leave here, had to fly over that briny deep for about 12 hours and hold your breath all the way, and you're at the flying light right down in Jerusalem among a bunch of bums a-falling, if you was doing that, I'd be a little patient with you. If you preached over about 15 minutes over or 20 minutes over the allotted hour and a half, I'd stay with you. Amen? And besides, if you get up and leave, people will think you're mad. Don't do that. And on top of that, you leave, they'll know you're guilty. You don't want to leave. Amen? So just suffer it out. It'll do you some good. All right. Now then, in the book of 2 Kings, and I'm serious, we might have a little humor in this message. I expect we will. You may laugh a little bit, and that sure ain't going to kill you, I'll tell you that. But listen, folks, before God Almighty, I'm just as serious about this message as I've ever been in my life. You know why? I want God's power on this church. I want God's love in this church. And I want God's people to have the peace of mind that God wants them to have. And I want God's people to get the blessings from God that they ought to have. And I'm going to show you tonight the only way you can have it. And the more we can measure up, the more God will measure us up. So here he says, and Elisha came to Gilgal. I'm going to that place. I was there last time. And there was a dearth in the land. That means they didn't have no food. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. In other words, they had a school. The school's no new thing. God's always had schools for his children to be taught. That's why I've encouraged you teachers that don't know how to make a class grow. You ought to get in here and see if you can't help it. Come over to the Institute on Monday night if you can't come both nights. Get some of it and put it to use. Learn it. And it says here, set on the great pot. He said, get out the big pot. He said, we're going to have a cooking here. Get out the big pot for the sons of the prophets. They're going to have a cooking. And he said, and one went out together to the field to gather herbs. And he found a wild vine and gathered therefore wild gourds, his lap full, and came and spread them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. They did it ignorantly, see. You know, a lot of times you can hinder God's work doing it ignorantly, and you don't really know what you're doing. You don't realize the seriousness of it. And that's my job. I'm supposed to magnify my office. I'm supposed to magnify your sin. I'm supposed to glorify the Savior and exalt him, that you'll see him and want him, and then want your life to be like him. And then he said here, and so they poured out for the men to eat. By the way, I'll stop right here. We've got several notes for others to sing, but I got to preach tonight because this is the last time for four Wednesday nights and two Sundays, morning and night. And you don't know it, but in nearly 30 years, this is the second time I've ever been away from you that long. And I want to preach. Now, Shirley wanted to hear Jerry sing, so we'll let her sing the invitation if I have time. See, you all don't know it, but my people start breaking on me at a certain time. I just will turn them loose. And if they go out, break my invitation, I don't get to give it and go to hell. You know who to be charged to? It ain't going to be to me. But you see, sometimes they break on me. People start leaving and start getting up and going. Now, I know some may have to go. In fact, some's come to me and explained. Said, preacher, now, at a certain time, I've got to go meet a car or meet my ride. And I understand that. But I know a lot of people, their belly's to God, or they made some worldly appointments, or they don't give a hoot about the Word of God, their God's man, their soul, nor nothing else. And if you break my invitation, I don't get to give it. Just remember that God's going to hold you responsible for those people who would have been to this altar if I'd have got to give an invitation. I may not give one tonight, because if I see you out of patience, like some of you was getting this morning, and some of you just biting a bit to go, I'm just going to let them go and say, Lord, you charge it to the one who's guilty, and that'll be all right. All right. Now then, so they poured out for the men to eat, and came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that a man cried out and said, oh, thou man of God, there's death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. Death in the pot. And he said, then bring meal. And he cast it out into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. There was death in the pot. Now, I don't know how other preachers preach this. Fact of the matter, I don't know if I ever heard a man preach on death in the pot. I know several said they've heard me preach it. I believe Brother Johnson said he heard me preach it maybe at Clearview about 20 years ago. I don't know. Might have done it. Somebody else said they heard me preach it here at the church one time about 20. I don't know. But I do know this. I don't know how some people preach it, but I know how I think it ought to be preached. And I believe this pot today, to me, could easily be the church of the living God. In other words, death in the church kills the church. No fellowship. No sweetness of God's Spirit, no love, no joy, and most of all, no power to convince sinners that need to be saved. Did you know what? If some of you work your fingers to the bone trying to get one in your class, and if the power of God would come on this church, if people would meet God's conditions, I believe you could put 50 in your class as easy as you're getting one if we'd meet the conditions. I mean the whole church as a whole. I believe the church in Surrey County has yet to see the power of God like they would see it if the people in the church would listen to God and quit just saying, I'll take what I want, and you can take the rest and go to the four winds. That's not what the saying word, but that's the attitude. And so the plot being the church. And my friends, there's a way that you might do it ignorantly or knowingly that you kill the power, the testimony, the fellowship, the love that we could have, the peace of mind, and the blessings that would flow down so we couldn't contain it if we got death out of the pocket. All right, now with that in view, let me say this. With that in view, we're going to put on the pot. And the Bible said that they went out and said they got an apron full of gourds. And one fellow got poison gourds, and he didn't know what he's doing. He had an apron on, you know. The reason he had an apron, everybody over there wears a cloak similar to an apron around them, men and all, but they have their pants under them, see. They're kind of a cloak, kind of like a bedroom coat or something. And evidently he made a lap and brought in a whole bunch of wild gourds and throwed it in the pot. And the men cried out and said, oh, man of God, there's death in this pot. Yes, sir. You and I know today there's death in the church, isn't it? Boy, you're at the pump and prime, beg and persuade, play music and sing, do everything under God's sun to get people interested in God's Word. Now, I'm going to keep on doing it, but it oughtn't to be that way. Brother, knowing as Brother Larry testified how near the Lord's coming is, and knowing that people are going to hell by the multitudes, by the literal thousands, they're sweeping over into the oceans of hell, into the bottomless pit, crying, nobody cares for my soul. Brother, we ought to wake up. We ought to make up our mind tonight that we're going to make this church the most powerful church in this community, or in this area, or in this state. Brother, when we get death out of the pot, it'll do it. Now let's look at some of the death in the pot. I'm sure you recognize that, don't you? I'm sure that everybody here recognizes Old Crow or Four Roses or any other slop. They call it good liquor. But you know, I'm not bragging about it, but I drunk a little liquor before I saved. But I never did get a hold of no good liquor. All the liquor I ever got a hold of, we'd get in the woods and drink it and chew pine needles and oak bark and blow gum and run down spit in the creek to keep from setting the woods on fire. Call it good liquor. Now we've got a liquor store now over Dobson, the scattered around. And you know what they're doing? They're emphasizing the fact and spreading it abroad in your paper that, boy, it's a profitable outfit. They're telling you, brother, that they're making money hand over fist. That, boy, they don't know what they're going to do with the money. Don't tell me it's not. Even out of the paper line. And they're saying, boy, and here's something else they're saying. They're saying that we haven't found or heard tell of one harm that it's done. But I run into fellow 11 Cross, told a whole lot different story. But now here's what I want you to see. Now, I want to ask you now, you're a Christian, aren't you? Who lied? God or that man put that in the paper? Because God said he'll give you redness of eyes. It says, woe to him that put the bottle to his neighbor's lips. And he said he'll wake up with trouble. And who has troubles and who has sorrow and who has woes is he that wells with the bottle. Now, who's right, God or the liquor store craze? All right, somebody lied, didn't he? Then you ought to pray for that low-down liar. That's what he is, a low-down liar. Brother, that don't talk. Now, when I say liquor, I'm not just talking about bottle in the bar. I don't care. Bless God if you bottle it in a swamp. I don't care if you get it out of a horse where this beer looks like it come from. I don't care where it is. If it's alcoholic beverage that affects the brain and numbs the mind, make you act like a fool and a jackass, it's against God's will. And if you got it in the church, now I know sometimes you'll find, you'll say, preacher, nobody in this church sips any beer, sips any liquor. You'd be surprised. Yeah, boy. Well, I've had some of the best boys in our church to get under conviction, so I better drink and beer. Ain't no use talking about that. We ain't by that shit show man. Well, they can come in puking a bit and you wouldn't know it. You know what's going on? Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sirree. Death in the pot. Get it out. Somebody said, I tell you, I don't think a little drink will hurt nobody. If it takes 10 drinks, bless God, to make you drunk, when you get one drink, you're one-tenth drunk. And the Bible said there'll be no drunkards enter in. Mind if I take off my coat? I'm not getting hot. I got to demonstrate directly. All right. Now then, I want you to notice there's death in the pot. Another thing. Let me get something else. Here's some more death in the pot. What is that, preacher? Oh, don't act so ignorant, you old hypocrite. You know what that is. Oh, yes. You know what that is. Sure you do, you old... Bless God, you old female billy goat solitaire pinochle bridge player. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know exactly what it is, don't you? You say, well, preacher, I don't see no harm in it. I didn't either until God saved me. But after God saved me, I found out God said to abstain from the appearance of evil. And everything about a deck of cards has the appearance of evil. Everything on there, the jack, the spade, the ace, the deuce, and all represent some very evil spirit. And even those that deal in witchcraft many times use the famous deck of cards. You got a deck of cards in your home, you got a curse in your home. I don't care if it's pinochle, bridges, a bingo, single, or whatever it is, or purgatory. Bless God, you better get them out. Because that's death in the pot. And I want to tell you right now, I'd have got a bit more confidence in your religion than I have a purebred jackass. You get that? That's what I'm talking about. Now, if that's not plain enough, I'll write down on a little piece of paper and let you read it. And that old mage, bless God, you let them alone too. They're sinful. God hates them. They represent evil. They're of the devil. They ought to be out in hell. And there's a whole lot of little innocent pretty dollies entertain themselves in solitaire or bridge or some other pinochle outfit that you don't know John 3:16's in the Bible. And some of them do it in our churches in Mount Airy and then get up and teach a Sunday school class. You ain't fitting to feed a bunch of pigs, let alone a bunch of kids. God, put that up now. There you go. That's death in the pot. That's why we don't have no power. That's why God don't visit us with blessings. That's why we can work our heads off, get 150 promises, and get two out the church. Yeah. We got to have the power of God on us. It costs you something to get God on you. That's all there's to it. Now, brother, that's not all. We have the pornography outfit. Yes, sir. Ain't that a beautiful little picture there? Ain't that nice? Your little brothers and girls to go look at in the library and go up to the drugstore and look at and go down to the grocery store and look at in the paper. You don't say a word about it. You just look at it too. Isn't that a beautiful little thing? Now let me tell you something. God said that we're supposed to keep our minds pure. And if you look at books like this and practice those things in the schools and in the homes and everywhere else, one thing about it. You're either nutty or you ain't no man. Why? God said, think on pure things. You got any old dirty magazines and pornography, brother, and you got youngins in your house, I don't care whether they object, reject, blowjack, or hotjack, you're supposed to get that mess out of there. And if you ain't, take the tag of Christianity off and go out and live for the devil. Quit acting like what you are. That's right. That puts death in the pot. Death in the pot. I don't have to put a record out there. Brother Richard furnished that with his PA system a while ago in the morning service. You already heard that hound dog beat that you got there and you call it nothing wrong with rock and roll. Bless God, you better get saved and get on a sure enough rock and on a sure enough roll. Amen? Yes, sir, read. Brother Tommy, tain't right. That's death in the pot. You mothers and fathers going to give an account of letting that stuff lay around your living room and let your children eat on it all week. If I had a child and had that stuff, I'd take it away from him and give him a smack where he needed it. Amen? That's good preaching of Alabama doing. And bless God, that's good preaching. If some of you mammies don't do nothing about it, you ought to. If you're the man you ought to be, you would. If you're the pappy you ought to be, you put on your britches and do what you ought to do. That's right, amen. That's exactly. Brother, I've been in drug stores and I picked up the stuff on the shelves. Brother, I've never heard their mouths are reading. It's like a sore outlet. Brother, they don't stop saying nothing. They say everything, line after line, period after period. They put it all in. And I didn't realize it till one day a man come up and said, "Preacher," and I picked up a book and I never seen such a rotten, stinking mess come out of a book in a public place. And I said, "My God, look at this book." He said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" He said, "All them books is like that." He said, "What can I do about it? Bless God, this sleuth on going to hell like he started." But I'll guarantee you, if I had enough of God's men and women would rally up and take a stand and start shouting and fight, bless God, somebody listen to them. It's funny to me, them old-timers done something about it. Bless God, they'd go into town and close up saloons and close up movies and everything else. Amen. That's right. And we got people today that just don't do it. And besides all that, here's some more death in the pot. You say, "Preacher, what is that anyhow?" Bless God, I'll show you what it is. Do you ever see one of these things? Do you know what this is, big boy? Do you know what that is? That's got me blinded, bless God. I can't see. But you know what it is, don't you? You know what this is, don't you? I'll tell you what. We got a lot of people in the church. You ought to put one on. Because you're a God robber. Yeah, you ought to wear one every Sunday morning. Yes, you ought to. You ought to put you one on. You don't count out God's pipe. You give God a little old tip. Yeah, and God's going to give you a little clip one these days, too. Somebody don't get me along the court. I'm going to raise more devil around here and get my feet all hanging up and get killed this thing. Yes, sir, here I am. That's right. Brother, listen to me. That'll put death in the pot. You want the blessings of God to stop coming down and the windows to shut up and God to clam up and not do a thing? Just keep on stealing from Him. If you steal from God, listen, you listen to me. You got a curse on your home. You got a curse on your children. You got a curse on your bed. And God said you're cursed with a curse. That's what it is. Somebody said, "I can't afford to tithe." You dirty, rotten liar. God said 90 cents would go for the dollar if you didn't tithe. Now either God's a liar or you're a liar. Which one a liar? Amen. That's good preaching. Preacher, I'm mad. You'll get over it in 3 weeks. Don't leave the church. You can pray for the boat to go down. Amen. Yes, sir. A mask. That's death in the pot, folks. I'd hate to think that God's power, God's love, God's windows has been closed, and God's blessing stopped coming down because I couldn't trust God with a dime out of a dollar. Amen? That's right. That's good. That's the preaching. Put it right over there. Some of you might want to wear that next week to rob a bank. Be a lot better. Wouldn't be near as bad to rob the bank than to steal from God. I'd rather steal from a man than steal from God. Amen? Isn't that right, Brother Richard Shirley? Six, whatever it is. Amen? Yes, sir. Death in the pot. Death in the pot. Yeah, bless God. You know what that is, don't you? Huh? Do you know what that is? You don't know what that is? Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? I want to see how many liars is in this building. Do you know what that is? You know what it represents? You know what it represents? I just find out how many liars is in this building. You know what that represents? You know, don't you? Sure you do. And the rest of you do too. You're just lying. You know what it means? That's your God. That's your God. You say, "Now, preacher, I'd be walk careful. Shut your mouth. Walk careful. I'm going to stomp the devil out of it." no more careful to it. That's killed your church. Bless God, and they stick their nose in that thing 18 hours. They come up here. Ooh, little boy. I'll wake you up, I'll pour this water right on you, bless God. Directly. I'll tell you right now, listen, folks. It's killed the church. Some of the best deacons I ever had served God for years till this thing come along. You know, I know preachers that used to preach one night a week in a revival on what's wrong with the dirty movies. That was back during the silent movies when they couldn't even talk. When it was against the law to wear your dress above your knee. When it was against the law, bless God, to go out on the street in a pair of shorts. But things have changed now. We've learned better. Yeah, you've learned better. All right. Devil taught you real better. Here's old I Love Lucy. Right there he is. I love old Lucy. I know you do, honey. And old Lucy's about got you too, ain't he? Amen. That's your God. Yeah, and if I don't get your old red skeleton wheel, honey, he's got you. Amen. Old rabbit ears. Yeah. He's got you, ain't he? Yes, sir. Don't talk about that. You don't want me to mention your God, do you, old Baal worshiper? That's all you are, old Baal. You say, where's the scripture? God said, set no wicked thing before your eyes. And if you've got these things in your home and never see the evil on them, ain't but one thing about it. You're blind as a bat or the biggest liar in Sheriff County. I made that pretty plain. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's on them? Brother, when the movies used to be on years ago, the old-timers preached once a week. Oh, what's wrong with the dirty movies? Couldn't write a dress above the knees. Couldn't even hear what they said. I was in somewhere in a motel the other night. Somebody said it was getting a little better. I thought I'd check up and see. And the first and the two didn't have to listen but one night. That's over here on this blanket. I couldn't put that on there. That had to leave that blank. Just tell you about it. But here was two women, or two sons, with tight britches and cigarettes and blowing smoke and talking. And you know what they was discussing? They was discussing sexual intercourse and how you could get the most joy and why the man didn't respond to the woman sometimes and the woman didn't respond. Of course, your youngins look at it, but they don't learn nothing, do they? You hypocrite, too. That's all you are, hypocrite. Let me tell you one. And you know what else they said, Brother Robert? You need to learn this one. He said if you stop having the outward intercourse and learn to make it backfire on the inside, it'll add many years to your life. Now, learn that trick, honey. Is there a preacher? Yes, preacher. If I can't sit in a pulpit, why in the name of God can they flash it around the world on the TV and nobody says nothing about that? Shut up! Oh, you don't wear my deal, Vivian. All I look at is Jerry Falwell. Of course, sometimes I look at the news. Bless your kitty heart. Liars, liars, liars. Yeah. I asked the view, I said, what they got on the television? What you always tell me? They don't ever tell me about this sexual stuff that I saw the other night. They don't tell me about, who is it, Johnny Carson? Or Devil Carson or something, comes on, cusses like a sailor, mouth sounds like a sewer at left, brings in every old Hollywood star, glamorizing before the public, and he's Captain Holler, and everybody has to stay up to see Johnny Carson. Well, you better take a good look at him, because it'd be too dark to see him in hell. So that's all darkness down there. Amen? And then somebody said, well, I can't see it. Well, what's the matter with you? You don't want to see it. But I'll tell you what it's done. Bless God, it's played havoc with the church. Some of the best deacons I ever had, some of the best school teachers I'm talking about Sunday school teachers I ever had, when that thing come along and come out, it didn't do it the first week, it didn't do it the first month. But as time slid by, they slid out. That's right. If I had more time, I'd talk about it, but, you know, that's somebody's God tonight. Amen? But you know what it's done? It's put death in the pot. But you'd rather our little boys and girls die and go to hell, learn things that'll cause them to go out, commit crime, and all kind of sexual acts, and be killed, put into hell. You'd rather that happen than to give up your little idol, you little sweet devil, you. Amen? Oh, you get over it before I get back. I love you, and you know I do. I'm going to pray for you all the way across the water. Yeah, death in the pot. Death in the pot, preacher. What you got? Got your little britches. Got your little Charlie socks. You said, preacher, that's too low, too little. You'd be surprised what they can pack in one of them little bags. You look good and see hairs and everything else. Amen. Yeah, put them on. Some of them said, well, I only wear them out in the backyard where the pool, the outdoor pool is. Well, I wouldn't do it there. You'll make a frog commit suicide. I know we'd lay in yards, and you know what they like to do? Put on their little shorty shorts. I can't get them on, though, but they can. They can get them on, but I can't. And put them on, and you know what they like to do, Frank? The lawnmower business gets good. They get a lawnmower, and they get up on the driver's seat, and they cut them, and here they go around the edge of the yard. You know what I'm talking about, you old devil, you? Put you on some clothes. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with it? I'll tell you what's got to do with it. The Bible said for a woman not to show a fire. That's what it's got to do with it. And when you do it, you ain't right with God. You're causing somebody to go to hell on your filthy life. If you don't do that, some of you may compute because you look like an elephant with a diaper on. Death in the pot. Death in the pot. That'll kill a church. That'll kill a church. That'll take our testimony. They say, what's the difference between us and the world? None. What ain't got that we ain't got? None. Nothing. We've got to prove to the world there's something different, something better, something miraculous, something different about the way we live, the way we talk, the way we dress, and the way that we walk. Well, I know some of you say, you're just making people laugh. Yeah, but honey, there's somebody hitting the nitty-gritty out of this. There's some of you so mad right now. Lord of God, if it could be seen, you'd have enough madness energy built up in you to start a bonfire, burn up America. You're hot right now because I've struck your little old two-bit sin. I've got them somewhere here. Who said, but preacher, is that all you got? Just stay around, old cold head. I ain't even started. Them that don't wear shorts, they give them a mini dress. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that cute? Isn't that sweet? I want you to look. That's the most wonderful thing I ever did see. Isn't that just right? That's so wonderful. I want you to know that. Glory to God. Now you see, and you know what to do? They try their best to, when they see somebody, make it wrinkle up behind. You know, like he said to you know, being way over like that, looking for something. That's what's killed our church. Bless God, that's what killed our church. You old nanny goats just killed our church. God didn't say let your tail light shine. He said let your spiritual light shine. By the way, Ed Blue didn't start that either. I started, but I keep saying it. Amen? I know what I'm talking about. Unfaithfulness will kill a church too. Do you know that? Unfaithfulness. Let me tell you teachers something. Let me tell you young preachers that's teaching young churches. Let me tell you something. If you can't train them kids to be out here on Sunday, Wednesday night, if you teachers can't get them out here on Wednesday and Sunday night, you failed on your job. Let me tell you something. Did you know you can get a person in an old groove as a young Christian, as a boy or girl, and bless God, all hell couldn't change them, and they wouldn't go to a Wednesday night prayer if you'd take a 38 revival stick at their head? They get in an old groove. And if they ever get in that groove, honey, you can't get them out. And let me tell you, young preacher, something, and you Sunday school teacher, if you've got them on Sunday morning, and if you let them get in that groove, God Almighty's going to hold you responsible. You ought to give an ending lecture at every message you bring in Sunday morning, whether it's in Sunday school or preaching, or be back tonight and Wednesday, that you can't be a Christian you ought to be unless you're here. Amen. Amen. Get them there. Teach them stewardship. Them kids has got money. Some of them kids, bless God, could buy their daddy out right now. You know what I'm talking about. Come in here and hand me an envelope, bless God, 22 cents in it. Won't you go pick up some milk pots? Won't you get some pop bottles? I just sent in an order and said, didn't nobody come today? As well tell a lie as to cheat. I'm trying to say, listen, folks, unfaithfulness will put death in the pot. Brother, if we make this church what it ought to be. Now, I appreciate what Jack Hiles is doing. But there's one thing he does that I don't emphasize. Just so we can get them here and count their nose. I want you to get them here and learn them to give. I want you to get them here and learn them to come back on Sunday night and on Wednesday night. And if you don't strive for that, I would to God you'd get out of that little place you're in and let somebody have it that's right with God. If that hurts your feeling, stay around. I got nothing for you. All right. Yes, sir. These dresses too high at the bottom. Too low at the top. God ain't pleased with them. You know he's not. He's not pleased with them. Yes, sir. He said it's a shame. The thighs of a woman is a shame to be seen. It ain't a shame. It's a puking disgrace because some of them looks like two toothpicks stuck up in their tater or two old ropes with a knot tied in them. Yeah. Either be ashamed or disgraceful, either one. Just dress like y'all two. That's what God's meets for to do. You know what they'd have done with you if you'd have had on a dress like this in High Point, North Carolina when I was a teenage boy, or you'd have had on a pair of them shorts. You know what they'd have done with you, mama, you female billy goat. They'd have took you to jailhouse and locked you up. I saw them do it. I've known them do it. I didn't see them do it, but I've known them to do it. You say, well, things have changed. Yeah, but God hadn't changed. Some of you are going to wake up some of these days and find out it's too late to do something else. That's what's killed our church. We have no standards. We have no principles. Parents are not willing to raise a standard in the home. You go to try to discipline them in the school. They'll come trotting out here. My child don't never do nothing wrong. You're the biggest lie I'd ever walked. I ain't going to dwell on that. I'll let somebody else do that. I'd rather preach on long-haired me. That's another disgrace, isn't it? You say, preacher, you say that just about every other time you preach. Well, you quit and I'll quit. But I wish I could get you to see just how you look, you old devil. Oh, if I could just get you. Yeah. Amen. I look just good, bless God. I look just good as you do. I look this good as you. I got this much through this you have. You silly bonehead Jew. You need the devil beat out of you. You was my boy, and you done like that. Bless God, all would happen to you when you woke up in the morning, you'd have a neat little crew cut. Amen. If I couldn't do it, I'd get old Barbara Johnson to do it. He's a sure enough life and Barbara. God bless your heart. That'll look good on you. Amen. Amen. You say, well, Pinky, now this is awful. Well, that's funny. They talk about how nice they look all over town. Why, him say, well, I think my boy's cute. I don't think my boy looks so bad. Why don't you take a look at me, bless God? You think it looks good on me? Well, it don't look no better than no boy neither. Amen. Yes, you say, well, preacher, now, does that make any difference? It just makes a difference whether you got a pie house around here or a firecracker, that's all. You can't deliberately walk on the Word of God and not do what God said and expect God to bless and send the power. Amen. Yeah. Jack Hiles got a barber chair in his church. You say, well, what about the women? Go ahead and wear them, honey. If I had a head like you all got lately, chopped it off, I'd cover it with something. Find no scripture against that. Yes, sir. But I can find them. As long as I find Bible, I'm going to preach it. Amen. Don't care what nobody thinks. Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir. I'm telling you. Now, let me get this other one here. Yeah, God bless you.
That's something.
Death in the pot. How could you get death out of that? Well, it could be a TNT bomb in the thing. But what does it look like? What does that look like to you? What does that look like to you? Huh? Looks like goosey. Say that loud. What does it look like? Looks like an egg, don't it? They don't call them goose eggs over in Jerusalem. When I didn't have an egg for 5 days and started raising Cain, I said, what do y'all feed us cucumbers and garlic and onions for breakfast for? I said, don't you have no eggs around here? He said, what do you mean? I said, eggs, eggs, chicken eggs. And he said, egg. I said, egg. Next day, they come in with a dishpan full of boiled eggs. Never did fry one, but boiled eggs is pretty good. Egg. Well, preacher, but how's that going to kill the church? We got a lot of eggy Christians.
Yeah, man.
You got to be careful.
Yeah.
Oh, be careful. If you don't, if you say something I don't like, I'll take my dog, baby, and I'll go home.
Yeah.
I won't play with you.
Amen.
And then I said, I don't drop that egg. Little eggy Christian. Little eggy Christian. Now, I just don't like the way he looked when he said that, and I just go home. You little eggy, go on home, and God might just crack you in there.
Amen.
Little eggy Christian. Now, I know the son of you ain't getting much fun out of this, and I'll tell you why. You're probably an eggy Christian. After having you so careful, I might offend you. You see, if I say something about you, I ain't right down on old Frank. Say, Frank, I'll fire the, beat the devil out of you, Frank. That's all right, but you can't talk to me. I'm an eggy Christian. If you talk to me, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get cloudy, and I'll get puffed up, and I'll just sit down on the job. And be careful, don't drop that egg. Ooh, I like to drop that egg. You be careful of that eggy Christian. Because that eggy Christian, she or he has got to be everything. You say, who are you talking about? Eggy Christians. Who do you mean? Eggy Christians. Are you an eggy Christian? Do we have to handle you? You say, preacher, what's that got to the Bible? The Bible said for a man or woman not to get puffed up. That's what it said. Didn't we take that in the Bible as the truth? Eggy people. You make me mad, and I won't cooperate. Yeah, and bless God, when I find it out, I'll church you too. How you like that, Eggie? I'll church you, bless God, quicker than you was born. Tell you right now, we got a lot of Eggie Christians. That don't bother me. Well, thank God. I'm glad it don't. But I bet you it's a hitting somebody on the nose. What do you bet? God don't want you to be an Eggie Christian. God wants you to endure hardness as a good soldier. Paul said, if I come over there and you're still puffed up, I'm going to get with you. Don't you forget. And he said, when I want to get rough, I can get rough. Said, I'll turn you over to the devil. And boy, I'm going to chip off the old block. If you don't think I'm going to turn you over to the devil and you get disorderly, you'll find out something will happen sometime in less than 24 hours. You think you're bragging on yourself. No, I'm bragging on God. I'm bragging on God. Eggy Christians, eggy Christians. Boy, I'm so glad, praise God, you can get saved good enough, Brother Gary, so you don't have to look out there. You don't have to be an eggy Christian. You don't have to be an eggy Christian. Eggy. Don't be an egg. Bless God, be one of those hard-boiled boobies. Amen. There you go, bounce him around. Boy, you're bouncing. There he is when you open. I've lost my egg. Go on, egg. We're going egg hunting. That's got every time you go to hunt an egg, you always come up with something else. See that? Got a Pepsi-Cola that time. You listen to me. You listen to me. Eggy Christian is not pleasing to God. You're not supposed to run around here chip on your shoulder. You see, I'm your pastor. I'm your boss. I'm your leader. And I'll tell you what to do or you won't stay around here long. I got a right to you, my sheep. I got to give an account to you to God, and when you're in the wrong, I got to tell you. If you had any sense, you'd stop being an eggy Christian and appreciate it. Eggy Christians. Amen. Eggy Christians. You tell a preacher, how will that put death in the pot? Why, you'll call somebody else to be an eggy Christian. You'll say, you know, Mondale, now don't you dare tell this, because I ain't told it to nobody but you, and I want you to pray about it. But I want you to know one thing.
They ain't run the church right.
Yeah, sorry about it.
I think there's something will be done about it. Now, don't you tell it. Now, listen. Roger, I got something to tell you. But whatever you do, don't you tell nobody. Because you know what? I want you to pray about this thing. But you know what? Listen. There's some people that's doing things around here they ought not to be doing it. And God ain't pleased with it. Something will be done about it. Well, honey, it ain't your job to do nothing about it. Did you get that, Sugarfoot? Papa, did you get that? Your job is not to do something about it. It's my job. You read your Bible and find out who gives an account for the flock and who has to give an account to God, and that's the man you're supposed to do something about it. You'll be doing well if you'll keep yourself from being...
Come. I wish you would. All right, you'll fuss and fume up about these old rotten things, but one of these might be the death of your child, too. One of these might cost you the price of a coffin or something. You don't know. One of these might cost you that would take to get out of the way, get enough power to win that brother that you've been longing to win. And I could keep naming them. It ain't worth it. Which are you take tonight? If you sit there today and hold back on God, and that means that you're choosing this instead of this. That's plain. Will you mind God? We're going to sing one verse. If I don't see somebody coming to God, getting right with God, when I sail over that old sea tomorrow night, and I feel the props of weakening down, the old thing of seeking, and the winds are jumping it around, I bow my head and say, thank God I've tried to get you right. I say, thank God I've done my best to show you it's important that we get death out of the pot. Elijah said this, got to get this death out of the pot. Will you get it out of the pot tonight or leave it there? Which will you do? Confess and forsake and have mercy, or cover it and never prosper. That's what he said. Sinner, there's death in the pot for you. The only way you're going to get death out, you're going to have to come to Jesus Christ. You're going to have to come and bow your knee and ask God to save you. Tell God you're ready right now. If you don't, you're going to float in the oceans of hell and the bottomless pits of them. You're going to cry gnashing teeth. Would God you'd never been born. Unless you repent, there's death in the pot for you. Unless you come home to Jesus, But thank God there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that blood and lose all their guilty stains. Let's get rid of them, folks, while the fountain's so open. One day God will close the faucet, and it's all over. He'll stand with one foot on sea and land and say, times shall be no more. And all the dead shall come out and face God at the judgment, to be cast forever into the lake of fire. I beg you tonight, won't you, Christian, get death out of the pot for the sake of your loved ones to get right, for the power of God to be on you, for the windows of heaven to be opened, for your church to be a lighthouse for sinners. In Jesus' name I pray, you'll come. Let's stand. One verse. Will you come?
There came a sound from heaven.
Will you come right now?
Like a mighty
bird. What do you mean?
Our sins faith in each other.
What little thing, what little fox did fall in your
life?
What big fox did
come?
Where's your power gone? Where's your joy gone? Where's your peace?
Will
defend right now. If I don't see somebody get on
and
the feet. The ninefold fruits of the
Spirit.
Give to that man. That
will
hold the yield of God. Here it is, folks. Just plain as daylight.
There's
a river.
The river.
That's right. There's a river.
That flows from deep.
Would you go to this tonight?
From sin.
You that power you'd rather have than anything else. I don't know what it'll cost you, but I know that if he said it cost you the ninefold fruits of the Spirit, will you come? Don't sing one more verse. Nobody else, and regardless of who comes, I'm going to close. I've done my best. The hour's late, and I appreciate you giving me 30 extra minutes tonight. I really appreciate it. I do. I sure wish you'd take these fruits, leave these things, let that blood cover your sin. Oh, I wish you'd do it. How can you fail love, joy, peace, power, everlasting life, blessings, blessings on my home? I can't see how anybody could be such a dumb fool as some of you people. I don't understand you. I don't see how you could be as blind as yours, Sister Norton.